Fast Eddie here at the EAA Radio Studios with a good friend of mine, Eric Smith. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, Ed. Good morning. How you doing today?
Oh, I can't complain. Eric, you've had a very interesting career as a professional pilot.
Absolutely. It's been a, I've been flying since the early 70s. First started flying back around 1972 or so. And started flight instructing probably in the late 70s. And from there, I went into fly charter, doing freight for General Motors back in the early 80s, and then from there into working for a charter company out of Trenton, New Jersey.
That's about the time you and I met.
Absolutely. And in between, got to fly with some other people over the years that led to other paths in aviation, to my present circumstances. And quite frankly, a lot of my customers that I have today were former clients either doing charter or in flight instruction back in the 70s and 80s.
Well, I can remember when we first met, you were doing flight instruction then, and
yep.
You probably realized I was the worst student pilot you'd ever had. But in spite of it all, we soldiered on. You had tried several times, as I recall, to get interviewed by the airlines, to land a job as an airline pilot.
Absolutely. I mean, back in the late 70s and even the early 80s and the 90s, that was the career path for most of us in aviation, was to aspire to fly for an airline, hopefully maybe even a major airline, fly internationally.
And it didn't happen.
No, it did not. And for a number of reasons, and probably not the least of which, if we look back historically, back into 1978, in the Carter administration, was the deregulation of the airline industry. And I guess part of the unwinding of the business subsequently has been the unintended consequences of deregulation.
And the thing of it being, so much time has passed between then and now that it really isn't practical for you to search for an airline job.
Well, there's so many other options out there today that are certainly worth considering for anybody starting out. And, things have changed a lot. I remember when I first got into aviation, the regulations that we had to study and learn were in a book that was probably about maybe 3/4 of an inch thick. Well, now today you look at your regulations, you have this huge volume of regulations, and you just wonder, it's just become more and more, challenging for anyone to get into aviation. And to do that at this point, you have to think, well, is the airlines where I would end up, or is there a better way of doing things,
How many airlines did you actually interview for?
I interviewed probably back in the early 80s, I would say 6 to 8 airlines.
Yeah. And none of them picked you up.
Well, it's not necessarily true. I mean, there was a lot of competition for the jobs back in the 80s and even in the 90s. There were a lot of people getting out of the military. There were a lot of Vietnam era pilots. I remember going to a Continental airline interview where I was down in Houston, and I was probably the only general aviation pilot to be interviewed that day. Most of them were a group of guys, B-52 pilots, that all came down as a group.
Oh, geez.
And so, if you're an HR manager and you're looking to hire to fill slots in school, well, why don't we just take the whole squadron?
It's probably what they did. You were left out in the cold, though.
Eric, thanks for stopping by, but, I got to take this, I got a whole squadron here. I think I can, fill out all my positions here. And rightfully so, is the right thing looking back on it, it was the smart thing to do,
Oh, absolutely. But that left you out in the cold.
Absolutely.
What were you doing between airline pilot turndowns?
Well, in between, you were taking the, back then you had to take a flight engineer's test, because that was a requirement back then. They were looking to hire a new pilot as a flight engineer. So your written test was good. You took the test and your results were good for 2 years. Well, after 2 years, if you didn't, get a flight engineer's rating, which typically you would only do that with a company. There's no point going out and getting that on your own. There were not a lot of freelance flight engineers back then, if you will. And so you would have to retake the test. And so I must have done that probably three times, you know, over the years, thinking, well, this is where I want to end up. I want to end up with the airlines. At some point, you know, you start hearing about the fact that a lot of airline companies were going out of business. They were shutting down the brand ifs. I mean, we're not going to name names here, but there was just so many companies that have subsequently folded.
Yeah, well, that was the legacy airlines, all the big ones that I remember as a kid. Yeah. They're all gone.
And, you know, I remember showing up at the airline interview out in Denver, and I brought out all my logbooks. And I must have had about seven logbooks at that point filled. You know, all flight instruction, charter, you know, air taxi, corporate flight, things like that, you know, all kinds of airplanes. On the flight back that night back to Philadelphia, I ran into one of my former flight instructors who had come out that day. He flew for United, and he recognized me, you know, getting ready to board the flight. And he said, "I thought I'd recognized you. You used to fly at Hortman Aviation in Bristol." I said, "Greg, how you doing?" He said, "Boy, if I would have known you were being interviewed that day, I would have interviewed you." And I said, "Well, no problem. Nothing, you know, no harm. You know, it was an interesting experience. I'm glad I came out." You know, he said, "I saw that big pile of logbooks there." And I said, "You know what? That's too much to dig into." So I passed on you. And I said,
"Oh."
So, you know, I don't know. I mean, it was humorous. I had a lot of fun doing it. It was a good experience. It was a learning experience, you know.
Well, they've said consistently throughout the decades that there's always a pilot shortage.
Yeah.
And yet, every time you come up for an interview, and I'll fly with you anywhere, boom, you're handed your hat and you're kicked out the door.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they wouldn't hire you.
Well, I have a college background. I have a master's degree. Been working at this since 1974 or such. And now, you look back and say, well, how come I didn't get hired? Well, I don't know. Maybe it was just, you know, it wasn't meant to be, you know?
Maybe. But in spite of all that, you've still managed to earn a pretty good living for yourself.
Yeah, when the old expression goes, when God closes a door, he sometimes opens a window.
And that's exactly what happened with you.
Absolutely. And, you don't give up in this business if you love aviation. And let's face it, all the people that we see at Oshkosh today, they're all here for one reason. They love aviation.
Exactly. That's all of us. We're all aviation nuts.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, you look at all these people. There are very many different backgrounds here at this show. There's old people, the young people, people in their 80s, people in their 90s, and there's young kids. We have a 11-year-old kid on our flight that we flew out here yesterday, and he's, you know, getting a taste of this for, you know, the first time in his life.
Could be a future corporate pilot. You
absolutely
never know.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. So here you are. The airlines have completely passed you over. And what did you start doing after that?
Well, started deciding, well, you know what, you can either work for other people or you can work for yourself. And that's what I started doing. I started networking. I started saying, well, how can I, make myself, have more clout in the job market? How can I do more things in aviation that I enjoy doing? And that's what I did. I started, the charter company that I worked for, guess what? They went out of business. And so then I started figuring, well, I'll freelance for some other operators. I did that. And then I had an opportunity to go to take care of some aircraft for a auto dealership company up in the Doylestown area. He was a guy who needed somebody to help fly his airplanes. He enjoyed flying the airplanes himself as well, but he had a business need for his airplanes. And then we decided to take it to the next level, and we put together our own air taxi certificate. So now we started doing charter, and we've been doing that now successfully for 11 years.
You've been doing it that long?
Where does the time go?
No kidding.
That's our own charter company. We own it, we operate it, we manage it. And does it take a lot of work? Sure. It is certainly not something that's for everybody in this business. It's very tedious, a lot of paperwork, a lot of administrative things. But you also get to fly other customers, and you get to network in the industry with other people. And what that does is that draws in more contacts, more relationships with other businesses, and it just, you know, adds to what you're doing, you know?
So once you've established yourself as a professional pilot with this air taxi outfit, people are hearing about you and they're coming to you to work for them.
Absolutely. And they're either, you know, I'll give you a couple instances. I have one customer who has his own business. It's a privately owned business. They do refining of metals from electronics, used electronics. But anyway, they were a charter customer of mine for about 3 years. And then one day he said to me, he says, you know, I'm thinking about buying my own airplane. I said, well, that's an interesting thing. There's a lot that goes into this. You know, it's not a, you know, you just don't go out and buy an airplane and operate it. There's a lot of things to be considered. You know, we talked about it on subsequent flights, and we continued to work with him. And this past winter, he said, Eric, this is going to be my last flight with you as a charter customer. I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that, but, you know, I've enjoyed working with you. You always leave him on an upbeat note, and if there's anything I could do for you. He says, well, as a matter of fact, there is. We're going to need pilots to crew this this corporate airplane. And so he bought a 2 or 3 year old TBM 850.
Nice.
And he operates it off of the Belmar Airport in New Jersey. And between me and two other pilots, we have a confederation, if you will. We take care of this airplane for this company.
So, well, that's great.
So, you know, you lose a customer, but you still continue a relationship. And you're still flying. You're doing what you love doing.
And you're still paying the bills and all that fun stuff.
Absolutely. That all kind of, you know, continues.
What airplanes are you currently flying right now?
Right now, I'm flying a Citation 550 Bravo. I'm flying a Baron G58, which is our charter airplane. That's our one airplane that's dedicated to air taxi. We have a G36 Bonanza, which is the private aircraft that's owned by the owner of the auto dealership, and he also flies that personally. But we manage that, take care of it for him. There's a lot of things that go on with these airplanes, even if you don't fly them or whatever. Then the TBM 850. I do some consulting with the airplane, but primarily I just provide pilot services for the airplane right now with the two other pilots. And then I fly another Citation Bravo as a vacation relief pilot for another company out in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania.
So, in other words, you're a busy guy.
Well, there's, you know what? One thing you got to learn in this business, and this falls hard on a lot of people, is the fact that all these companies, all of these airplanes are coming and going all the time, over time. Now, in the short term, the airplane's here and now, the job is here and now, and you're a happy person. But one thing I've learned in my experience is that all this stuff is coming and going all the time. Companies are being bought and sold. Airplanes are being sold. Individuals are deciding they no longer need the airplane for their company, or they, you know, got bought out. I can think of a number of experiences where a Citation 525, really nice. We had one of the earliest CJ-1 aircraft that were delivered by Cessna to an engineering company up in Princeton. It was a beautiful airplane. It had the latest Collins, Proline 21 system. It was like, wow, you know, pretty nice. And that company got bought out by Emerson Electric out in Missouri 2 years later. And that airplane went away. And I was very downhearted by the whole experience. And I got to be honest with you. I was really, you know, I loved that airplane. You know, you ever fall in love with an airplane?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and, you know, it's like, wow. I'd be happy to do this the rest of my life. Well, guess what? You know, God's got other plans for you.
Yeah, and be careful what you wish for you may get it.
Absolutely.
For definitely. Well, Eric, it sounds like you've had a very colorful career. One of these days, you and I got to get together and go for a ride in that Waco.
Absolutely. Well, that's another thing we need to talk about in a future conversation.
And we will, but not today. This is you're listening to my buddy Eric Smith talking about charter pilot versus airline pilot and the possibilities thereof. My name is Fast Eddie, and you're listening to EAA Radio.